Hey everyone, welcome back. It is We Watch Stuff number 200. No, we have nothing special planned, except that we finally got to this one. So, there you go. What's up, Shahid? How are you? Oh, I'm sorry. Joining me, as always, is Shahid. What's up, man?
200 of these?
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah.
I think we're going to make it through 10.
Shit. The way it's been going lately, we almost didn't get to this one. So,
what's that Paul Rudd meme? Like, that movie, they're looking at you like, you know, you think we get here, look at us. That's us right now. 200 shows. No, things are fine. Things are fine. Been catching up on movies, been catching up on TV. It's been a lot of TV and stuff to catch on. And yeah, one of the things was last night, this whole thing started with a guy in a bow and arrow killing drug dealers and crooked bankers.
And now we've got Burt Ward, which I don't know if you recognized him.
Yeah.
Robert Wool was back. What else am I missing? It was on the first few minutes.
You blink, you miss it. Titans, and then
get rid of that shit.
We're not going to talk about that on this show.
Yes,
I forgot. Who would have? The short version is we saw four different Batman universes on the same show, and it made sense.
Yeah.
Like, just seeing Robert Wool and hearing that music and him looking at the bat signal, I'm like, wow. Who would have thought?
And apparently the Joker was still alive, because the paper said Batman captures Joker. And I was like,
did he roll on the ground?
A new one? Like, there was always, I read a long time ago, like, a fan theory that his minions, whatever, the boys, broke him out of the ambulance and soaked him in Smilex and brought him back to life. And I went, okay.
Whatever.
That's fine.
You can do whatever you want when it's like that type of thing. So, but, yeah. Like, just, I guess we can start with that, because it's kind of like this. It's funny, like, I've been reading people talk about it, and like the producers say, kind of like, you know, we've kind of been planning this for a while. We've been dropping hints for like years, more or less. And like a small one is like Lila's code name when she's in Argus is Harbinger.
Oh, I never picked up on that, actually.
Yeah, and she's been there since what, season one, season two?
I'm going to say two, because that's when they really start getting into Diggle.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, so she's been there, and this years ago, and they just been dropping things like, you know, Flash disappears at this time, this happens, that happens. And when they first announced it, it's like, how are they going to do, you know, how are they going to do that? Who are they going to add it? And then they just like, we're going to have this person here. We're going to have that person here. We're going to have the old Superman from the movies. We're going to have the old Superman from Smallville. You know, they try to get Nicolas Cage.
Okay, there's still the rumor that that might have happened. They said they contacted him, but they never said what happened. So,
I mean, it's kind of like they went, it's basically like all the stuff we grew up with and you watch counts.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if this is pulling it too much, and I guess they couldn't, but it'd be fun to see like a Super Friends universe. Just like take one of the old Super Friends clips and just put like the red thing over it. I mean, they voice over that stuff all the time. Just do stuff like that, which maybe is getting a little obnoxious with it, but it starts off saying there are infinite realities, so why not? But if you're going this far deep into it, go for it. I mean, what's someone going to say? This is stupid? Well, yeah, if you think about any of this stuff, it's pretty stupid. So the one I will say, they got me in the beginning because I was like, wait a second. When Argo City got destroyed, I was like, wait a minute. They're not getting rid of their Superman like that. That doesn't make any sense. And then it just pops up and, hey, we're fine. It's like, oh, okay. One thing from that, what was the point of going to get Jonathan? I know we met the old Ollie, but like, I'm like, was there a point to this?
I mean, you mean why they had to get Superman's baby?
No. But I guess that seemed like that was the easiest thing in the show. Hey, we're going here to get the baby. All right, we got it. Except for they had unless this was like Arrow's way of saying goodbye to Sarah, because I guess they didn't get that during the Arrow show. I mean, he pretty much said goodbye to everybody on that show except for her. So, technically it's not even that Ollie. So I'm just like, I'm wondering if that's like gonna come back into play somehow at the end. Because if they've been planting seeds for this the whole time, that would be a weird one to leave out. Because I don't believe we've ever met this one, have we?
No.
Yeah.
But we have not. So it is funny how the reaction. And yeah, Stephen Amell was definitely the MVP of this episode. Even though it felt like a Supergirl episode with stuff going on. Yeah. But it's like, you know, seeing how he started and then seeing him now and like the journey he had. And it's like, you know, I'm basically saving a billion people by fighting with my bare hands because I ran out of bow and arrow. Like, that's some Batman. He basically played Batman.
Yep. And
that's always been the joke. Like, Arrow's basically like Batman, except for he actually has sex and kill people.
Well, Batman always had the sex, but, you know.
Batman was around women, but they never really, like, until really the Ben Affleck one, they never really, like, leaned into that.
Well, I mean, Michael Keaton had Kim Basinger. I mean, all those did. The new one, like Christian Bale, no. I mean, it was all...
Christian Bale was playing the pool. I mean, Val Kilmer was like, you know, I got my girlfriend like me, but she loved Batman more.
Yeah, well, who was that one? Nicole Kidman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. And then George Clooney had what, Claudia Schiffer?
Right. No, she...
Elle McPherson? No.
Elle McPherson.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. Like,
weird world.
So, but no, it's just weird, like, seeing all of, you know, the whole, whenever you see Superman, it's like, yeah, they got a perfect Superman, a perfect Lois Lane.
Yeah. I guess that part of what bugged me, though, was when they showed, they were like, all right, you're out of here. And I'm like, oh, they're recreating the origin again. Okay. And I just went, well, wait a minute. Superman be like, no, I'm going to try and figure something out. But, whatever. They brought him back right away. So I was like, okay. That's why there was no, like, big to-do about it or anything. So, but, yeah. And that's when I actually learned, like, hey, just let it go. Just let it play out before anything. Just like Ollie dying at the end. Spoilers. Sorry, guys. Episode 1, Oliver dies at the end. You're like, heh? I don't think this is going to be... I don't think this sticks. Unless that's why we got that Earth 47 guy.
I mean, it helps because it's kind of like, you know, they did say they filmed some stuff, you know, after this. So I doubt that's the last you see that character, but it's just kind of like you knew he's going to die. You think it'd be the first episode.
Yeah. Well, isn't Emily, what's her last name?
Bette Rickards. Yeah, she's showing up for the last episode of Arrow. Yes.
So, wait, that wasn't last week the last week of Arrow?
They got one more.
Oh, okay. So Crisis ends. Okay. All right. I was wondering because I thought that was a little weird. The way it ended, although it was pretty touching, because I'll tell you what, the reason we couldn't do a show last week, man, I couldn't have gotten through it. I was teary-eyed through Arrow like an idiot. Him and John, are talking at the end, and I'm going, I'm just watching this, like, all these different weird emotions. Like, this is how we became friends. We started talking about this stuff. So it's like, how weird, like, all this is coming to an end, and then just the way, like, I remember when Arrow started, my first thing was when they put John in, I was like, here we go. And then, we've talked about it on the show, they created a fully formed character who is equally as popular as the main character on the show now. To the point where people want him to be Green Lantern, which...
Yeah,
I'm
like,
still
imagine
hoping,
that.
Fingers crossed, but... Yeah, so... I don't know, Arrow was pretty, like, I guess emotional, but... And then you go to this, and you're like, okay. And then Oliver dies like that, and I'm going, there's got to be more to this eventually. So,
it's, you know, it's the fact that he died, how he died is kind of like, just, I mean, that's a way for him to go out, because it's always like, I need to do what I need to do. And then him being pissed, him off, I thought I did all this, I was going to sacrifice myself for my friends, and now you say Barry's going to die, and he's like, well, that was last year.
I was very happy about
that. This is a whole new thing. And I'm like, you son of a bitch.
Now,
that was last year?
Yeah. Well, it's like what was it, Army of Darkness, when Ash sleeps with the, I don't know, was she a princess? Can I ever remember? He sleeps with the girl, and she's like, "What about all the wonderful things you said to me?" He's like, "Oh, baby, that's just what we consider pillow talk." I'm like, that's kind of what the monitor just did. Yeah, we need. All right, I gave you what you wanted back then. So, like, God,
that was pillow talk, baby.
Yeah, got you out of here. So, yeah, I was happy because you don't want that stuff lingering. You don't want Ollie being like, "No, this isn't what was supposed to happen." Blah blah blah, and it was like, "No, I'll talk to you now," and guy listened. So, I was trying to think, like, that was it for the Easter eggs, though, in the first episode, right?
For the most part, yeah. And the trailer was kind of, because it was kind of like they want to hit you over the head with it, because it's just going to be so many. And it was funny where a lot of time they have these episodes and they don't feel like the episodes on the show, they just feel like a crossover episode. There's a lot of Supergirl stuff on this episode, you know, besides just the whole crisis thing. Because, like, the Lena Alex stuff is, like, you know, it makes sense if you've I've actually been watching the season. So it's like that whole animosity has makes sense because, like, yeah, I know we beefing, but why wouldn't you think I wouldn't want to save the world? What type of person you think I am?
Yeah.
But don't think we're friends after this done. Like, we still got beef afterwards. Like, that's the type of pity I can respect.
See, since I don't watch, I actually thought she was talking about Lex Luthor because they made a point of showing him in the before the credits started, like, to catch you up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Okay.
No, short version, basically, like, she found out that they've been lying. They've been holding out that Kara's Supergirl, and she pissed.
Oh, so she knows Kara's Supergirl now?
Well, Kara told her, but she already knew before Kara told her, so she was plotting. And then Kara found out, like, how long you knew? Like, I know when Lex told me after I killed him, because Supergirl thought she killed Lex.
Oh, Lex and was dead now?
Well, he was dead, but he got brought back to life. Oh. By the monitor, I believe.
Oh, okay.
At the end of last season, Supergirl.
Oh, okay.
To set up prices, talking about, you know, we're gonna need everybody for specific tasks type things. So that's why that was happening.
Okay, because I was wondering, because in Crisis there's an Alexander Luthor, so I wonder if he's just gonna take that role. But they've changed it enough to where who knows what they're gonna do, and that's not a complaint. So, no, I enjoyed it though. I had a good time watching it, and you know they got to work in so much so fast, because they're talking about, like, you can trust, like, Kara's talking to Batwoman. She goes, you can trust me, blah blah blah, I trust you with my life. And I went, man, you met this girl one time.
Like, the okay. Universe about to end.
Yeah, I was like, whatever. Yeah, exactly. And then it was nice seeing Ray be smart again. Instead of, you know, he was still blabbering on whatever else, but it was really cool seeing him be smart. Like, he just automatically updates her batarang while they're in the middle of a fight. Thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, because it's like he doesn't get a chance to do that as much in Legends for whatever reasons. So to see him, like, yeah, you know, Ray used to be the original smart dude.
Yeah.
On Arrow. That was his thing.
Yeah.
Basically, he was Curtis before Curtis.
Curtis before Curtis, and then Curtis before, what's the son's name? William.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. Can't say I'm a huge fan of the new stuff, but whatever.
I can tell. Because you've mentioned how much you dislike his daughter.
Yeah.
She's growing on you, is she?
Huh?
Is she growing on you?
A little bit. Like, I think. The last episode of Arrow was the last few episodes of Arrow. She was real obnoxious, and maybe just grinding down to where I'm like, whatever, just be on the show. So, the one that got me was it was on Arrow, and they had to do like the cage fighting thing. Oliver goes in, wins the cage fight. He's got the stuff he wants, and they're ready to walk out with no problems. Her dumbass shows up getting caught, ruining the entire plan. And then she goes, oh, yeah, you had everything under control. And I'm watching this going, yeah, he did. He was going to walk out the door with everything he needed. And your stupid asses come in. And then he goes, yeah, I should have clued you. I'm like, no, you shouldn't have. Everything you just did worked. You should have been scolding her. I'm like, no, you impetuous asshole. Listen to me next time. But that was in the past. So I just don't like those arbitrary choices they make sometimes in these shows. But that's pretty much what all these CW shows do anyways. So it's my own fault for, you know, still pointing out and still being annoyed by it. So whatever.
Yeah, like that's a comic choice.
Yeah.
It's like what I call plot armor, as they call it all the time. So
yeah.
But I did like when, you know, I got this suit for you, because it's like you knew it was going to come sooner or later, and they say you're the best to last them for. And I will say this, for the budget that they're on, they maximize as much money as they have, because those fight scenes look nice. And oh, it's like you can pay attention to what's going on.
Yes. So it's all right. So the blue guys that were fighting, you know, the fodder. Was that an homage to the Avengers? And I'm being dead serious. Because they were in formation just like Age of Ultron. And the camera was zooming in and out of it just like they were during those fights with the Age of Ultron stuff.
I remember that.
And I wouldn't put it past them to do something like that. Not to be dicks, but I think it's an actual homage. Like, hey, yeah, look, we're paying respect to you guys for doing this. Because, I mean, this is CW's Endgame or Infinity War, however you want to look at it. You know, just on a smaller scale, obviously. But so to pay homage to the guys who did it correctly and did it biggest, no one's ever topping it. Kind of,
I mean,
cool.
if you're going to copy the best.
Yeah,
as they say.
Yeah, no one copies from a failing paper. So
but it was funny, cuz I saw some online was like, you got Superman and Supergirl was in the Flash, and then you got two people with bows and arrows. What they going to do? The same thing Batman does when he's running out there with Justice League.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do what you can do. That's what you do.
And, well, I mean, I guess you can look at it and be like, well, you know, Batman usually gets in his bat jet, but Kate doesn't have one. So what's she supposed to do? And then, you know, I don't know what those things were made out of. Feathers? I mean, they would hit them and they just explode. So they didn't really explain what that was.
No, they were just saying some large army.
Yeah.
Like, and then they go into it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't need to. Like, it's people we need to kill. So I mean, like, at this point, like,
It's a funny way of putting it.
Yeah, like, every movie's done that. Normal, it's either robots or ugly aliens, because that way you don't feel bad killing ugly aliens and robots.
That's exactly what they said about Starship Troopers. That's why they chose Bugs. So, And that movie's still awesome. That was on last week. And yes, I watched
it
again. So
yeah, and so did I. But no, I was not expecting Oliver to die.
No.
And then people saying, oh, it's going to get worse in the scene, the previews for tonight. I'll have to watch either when I get home or tomorrow, because I work this evening. So I'm definitely going to be off. I'm definitely not going to be on Twitter. So
yeah, well, that's not a problem for me. But what's tonight? Is that Black Lightning? Or is that tomorrow?
No. I assume tomorrow is Black Lightning.
All right, because he hasn't shown up yet. And after watching that show, I don't know how the hell this is going to work. But so this, all right, so this is actually going to force them to say where Black Lightning is, because they've never told you what Earth it's on. And frankly, with the way things are going on that show, I'm guessing they're on Arrow's world, because I'm guessing Arrow's world's the one that survives. I'm just guessing. I don't know, because you can't just uproot all that stuff. Because for anyone who hasn't been watching Black Lightning, boy, that is an intricate show, and still the best one of these. So how do you pick up all those themes, where they left off last week, pick it up and put them on a different Earth? Like, that'd be...
But, I mean, yeah, it would make sense, because like almost all the other shows, like Supergirl was only like the main one that was on like a different Earth. It was always like the one that was kind of like a conflict, because everybody else was on the same planet, more or less.
Well, no, Batgirl. So it just makes Batwoman's a different Earth. Because remember, they had to travel all the way to that one to find something.
Oh, that's right.
But even then,
But even if it makes sense because, like, you know, they've had there's a Gotham in on Arrow on yeah. like Earth One. They've talked about that. They talked about Bruce Wayne. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, and then well, then Titans obviously is a different world now. But you know what? They should really use this, like losing that Earth, and totally restart that jungled mess. That would be the greatest thing they could do. Just start it all over. But I mean, I know you've read Crisis, right?
I know about Crisis. Oh. But basically, the whole point was like they, you know, clean up all these different storylines and combine to like one multiverse.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I mean, because the Animonitor wins, and then the Monitor has to—I can't remember if it was a Monitor or somebody helps reshape everything to start it off again. Oh no, it was the original Superman. Who became the Earth 2? Became the Earth 2 Superman. He sacrificed to put everything together, so everyone would survive, but it'd be one timeline. So it's just an insane story for the time, but one they've tried to do again and never done it correctly. So
yeah, they've done it. Marvel's done it, and it's always basically the whole thing. It's like, you know, we got to erase and start over because we've done too much. So we don't have the Marvel. Like, they had the Marvel Ultimate Universe. Whole plan was, we're going to streamline it because it's just too much backstory and da-da-da-da-da. And then they do that again. So it's always tough with comics because it's kind of like you got 50 to 80 years of history. And you have all the people that grew up in that history, but at the same time, you want to bring in new fans, and it's like, it's hard when you knew. Like, I couldn't tell somebody where to start. Like, you know, you start up a comic, like, pick one.
Yeah. Comics were never supposed to have a continuity to them. They were never made that way. They were just, all right, here you go. And it's somewhere along the lines, the fans were the ones that started saying, well, how does this fit? Where does this fit in? Like, well, Batman should be dead by now if you're going to do that. I mean, not even from fighting, just from age alone.
Yeah.
Batman should be dead, so just stop it.
Like, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like you can accept the de-aging thing, like they don't age, but it's kind of like it's hard to just watch. It's like The Simpsons. Even The Simpsons have some kind of new. It's hard to just watch something over and over again and it not have a point.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you can do that like The Price is Right. Like game shows, you can do that. But, and then you'll just have a relationship with whoever is the host. But like shows that's on for a while, like you grow up with the shows. So expect the shows to at least change and grow up with you. Even it's like, you know, stuff's not intertwined. And I mean, TV shows probably the same thing. But now movies do it. I think once movies started doing it, it's kind of like, you can't be in a medium and not do it.
Yeah, you're beholden now. Especially, that's what DC's going to have to figure out. Because their plans coming up for the movies are all over the place. So
I've been reading their plan and their whole idea of, like, we're just doing movies. Like, I read, like, Birds of Prey, like, it just happens at a specific time. Don't try to connect it to anything else. Because, I mean, I don't blame, like, think about it. We've done this whole DC new universe. They've rebooted Batman without ever doing a Batman movie, and we've had two Jokers.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah, it's like, could you really try to like make it like folks don't make it sense? You're just gonna wrap your head around a pole. Just do good movies, and people won't care. I think people will stick to the fact like you're not Marvel, so don't try to be Marvel. Like you had your chance, you blew it. You make enough good movies, people don't care.
Yeah, well, especially now. I mean, if you're going to make $1 billion a movie, I mean, I don't think Shazam hit that, but Aquaman did. This Wonder Woman. Oh yeah, Joker. Which I'm reading now, they're actually going to be developing a Joker 2.
I mean, you make $1 billion.
I know.
$1 billion and the budget's like 70 or 80. They always say, you know, if it makes sense and Joaquin wants to do it, we'll do it. So it's not like out the blue. Like the director, like Todd Phillips said, you know, if it's the right situation, we'll do it. And shit, it's that movie. He might win a damn Oscar. I don't know if he's going to win. He's going to get nominated for an Oscar for that damn movie.
Yeah. I saw the Golden Globes came today. I don't know if he got any of those or not.
I saw, yeah.
I didn't. I saw they announced today, but I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
They put but, a pick, did Eddie Murphy get real side quick sidebar? Did Eddie Murphy get nominated for a Golden Globe?
I would have to check because they do different for drama and comedy.
All right. What would that be? Comedy?
Comedy.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. I guess it would be. All right. I'm still coming out of a fog. So.
Yeah. But no. Speaking of budget in DC, yeah, I saw that Wonder Woman trailer.
Very and, cool. That's why I didn't bother hitting you up. I knew you'd see it. So.
Yeah, and it's like the first I saw a GIF of it, and I was like, wait a second. Is she swinging on lightning bolts?
Yes. How awesome is that?
I'm like, yeah, I have to see this. So I watched it, and it's no surprise. Yes, Steve, you know, they don't try to hide that Steve. You know, Steve Trevor's back. He's back. And it's, you know.
Okay.
Sure relate to Max. And you try to figure out why. I'm sure it's related to Maxwell Lord. They dropped a lot of hints and clues about that.
Elise was totally confused. She's watching it. She goes, wait a minute. Didn't he died at the end? And I was like, yeah. Well, how the hell is he there? And I was like, why is everything pastel? It's like, it's in the 80s. That's why. She goes, ah, they put it in the future? And I was like, I mean, not the future, but I mean, she's moved ahead. So she kind of tuned out. I was actually kind of surprised because I made her watch the preview with me because she liked the first one so much.
I mean, it's just kind of like, it is a jump.
Yes, it is.
Because it's not only a jump, like it's a different timeline, but it's not the present.
Yeah.
Movies, that'd be like if they did The Winter Soldier, it was in the 70s.
Oh, wow. I never thought about that way.
Yeah, like Captain America 2 jumped, like they did it. It was in the present. And the first one was in the past. So it was like, you know, a past man living in the present, trying to keep up with stuff. This one was, you know, we've seen her in the present. The first movie's back in like the teens, and now it's like, okay, you figure it'd be current times, and it's like, no, it's the 80s. Because the question's always been, what was she doing all that time?
Yeah. Instead, they just jumped ahead 70-something years.
And now they're going to show, and it's like this whole thing is like, you know, when they say, I remember when they first say, oh, Chris Pine going to be back, Steve Trevor, like, how? He died.
Yeah. Well, it was that picture on Twitter, Sally Jenkins. Not Sally.
Patty,
yeah, I know. She put that picture on Twitter, and everyone—that's what everyone was like, "What?" And he even looks like kind of totally out of place too. And my nerd cousin put a post up. The Casio watch he's wearing is from 1991. And I just went, "That's why we don't talk much."
Uh-huh. Like,
yeah,
they ruined it. You flipped my timeline.
No, he. He just likes doing that stuff, and I'm just responds with, "Hey, he's a time traveler now." So there. I mean, I don't know if he is, but
wait. So it's like you don't mind a dead man coming back to life, but mm-hmm. you paying attention to the watch.
Yeah.
We'll take this to the off air.
I'm not surprised. So yeah. So I was like, oh, okay. I guess it is. So, but no, it totally confused her, and. After I walked her through it, I was like, well, they're doing the time jump. She goes, why don't they just put her in the present day? I was like, because they want to avoid all that Justice League bullshit. She goes, ah, that's a good call. I was like,
I mean, you can just be like Aquaman.
Yeah. You fought at the ball. Because Aquaman. Like, yeah. All right, I'm going to go jump in the water.
Aquaman was the present. It's like, oh, I remember you saved the world. Like, hey, whatever. And that's basically the extent of what they talked about in Justice League in that movie. It's like, they knew who he was. They know what he did. And they kept it moving. And they could, I'm sure, like the third one, because there will probably be a third one. They said it's going to be the present thing. Like, you see Kristen Wiig, you don't see her, you don't see a thing. You see her looking not like Kristen Wiig. She cleans up well.
Yeah, she's been doing that in other movies too.
Mm-hmm. So. But I think I'm just used to her, they always have her looking frumpy or frazzled or something like that, you know, like eccentric. It's like, you know, shit, women, let a woman be a woman. And you see some Themyscira stuff.
So, okay, and this is where I'm trying to figure out if... I'm not trying to figure out, but my thinking is maybe she goes back to Paradise Island and then comes back in the 80s. Just guessing, because that would kind of explain the 70-year gap, I guess. But I don't know. And that's the nice thing about this preview, especially having like Steve Trevor alive. You don't know what the hell Maxwell Lord's doing. He's just talking, looking creepy, almost like a televangelist.
Yeah, it's kind of like you assume from what I gather, because he's talking about, you know, you can't build things based on lies. It's all like, I have the feeling he's responsible for Steve Trevor being alive.
That's what I told Elise too, yeah.
And they kind of lean into that. But they didn't beat you over the head with it's like, you know, because you saw a lot of stuff, but you still don't really know what's going on. It's just, you know, she's in a different time. She's, you know, trying to figure out the 80s, trying to figure out how her boyfriend's back. And you see cool stuff. Was that jet invisible?
Wait, did I miss it? Because they were in a jet.
They were in a jet. I saw them in a cockpit, both of them. I couldn't tell if the jet was invisible or not.
Oh, that's hilarious. It was like
3 or 4 seconds. So. Okay.
That's cool, though. I mean, why not? Like, she mentioned having one in Justice League, didn't she?
I can't remember. But, you know, I don't remember much about that. It's hard to keep up stuff when it's like, you know, you see cool stuff like her smacking a bullet out of a gun and then smacking the bullet out at somebody.
Yes. I don't want to be negative in the middle of all this, but it's like they got that right, but they messed up Superman. And now they're going to recast him because it was Henry Cavill's fault? Are you stupid?
But that's the thing. He keeps saying, they ain't tell me they're recasting. I'm still going to be Superman until they say otherwise.
Yeah.
He's been saying, like, y'all talking about recasting. They ain't tell me yet, so as far as I know, I'm still doing push-ups.
Well.
He's got stuff. He's busy doing The Witcher, so he's got stuff on his plate, but he don't seem like, you know, I'm ready to stop being Superman. Ben Affleck feel like, you know what, whatever. Y'all can take, I tried. This ain't my fault.
Yeah.
Like, he felt disappointed, but he wasn't all beat up about not being Batman anymore. Henry Cavill was like, nah, I'm still Superman. We talking about recast.
Yeah, it's like, I want my franchise. I don't know. And again, it's not his fault that Superman wasn't that good. It sure as it wasn't his fault Justice League was no good. So, on that, have you heard or seen more about this supposed Snyder Cut?
I was hoping you would ignore that.
Even now, Zack Snyder even put out, here's the reels of his finished, and I'm like, what? Like, what's going on? And he has other stuff going on. I mean, like, creatively. He's doing stuff for Netflix, if I remember right. So I don't know I don't know why we're beating this, or he's beating this drum so loud. And then some of the stars have started to say, yeah, we were done filming.
You know why? Because it's a small but loud subtext of people who still want to see this damn... Like, people who like Zack Snyder, they really like Zack Snyder. Like, it's a thing. Like, they're all in. And people have very divisive feelings. Like, oh, Justice League would have been good if they let him do it.
My understanding of this whole thing, and it never died. My understanding of the whole thing, though, was he was doing it. I don't remember what relative, but somebody committed suicide in the family, and he had to step away. That was what was put out there to the public. Mm-hmm. Then Josh Whedon was brought in to finish the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But now Zack Snyder saying, no, it was finished. He came in to make changes. And I went, what's going on here? So, and I mean, obviously, someone's lying.
Yeah, and it's more of like... I could see them. I could believe Zack Snyder because I feel like Warner Bros. Like, you know what? We making these changes. Like, we're doing this. You know, we're finishing a movie. So Zack Snyder has a cover. You know, so it's like he has an out. Like, you know, I didn't get to do it my way. I had tragedy. So people don't blame him. And at the same time, it's like, you know, if the movie's kind of like conflicted, you know the reason why. Like, it's two different, like Fantastic Four. Yeah. It's like that. So Warner Brothers story covers everybody, and it makes sense. But if it's not the truth, if the truth was we finished it, you didn't like it, so we changed it, then it's like, you know, Nobody looks good with that.
No.
Warner Brothers, they don't look good. Then it's like, you feel like you wasted Josh. Zack Snyder fans gonna feel like, you know, we didn't get Zack Snyder's vision and you wasted Josh Whedon's time.
Yeah. And, well, the other part of that was it was supposed to be a two-parter. So my other speculation is they were like, no, we're not doing this in two parts. Because apparently Justice League, his version ended on a really sour note. With, like, I think Batman captured, Cyborg dead, which, you know, 50-50 on the sadness. I think somebody else gets beat up really bad, and then it's like the Flash and Aquaman are left to tend everything. And then, apparently, Hal Jordan was in it. And Martian Manhunter. So they're all there. So I don't know if this is just to drum up something, but why? Like, it's not like they're going to come back to you and say, you know what? All right, you use the pressures to do it. Like, that's not how these execs work. I'm like, no, go fuck yourself.
The only thing I could see is because Joker was so successful, and it's like, that was great and it worked. Maybe if I push them enough, they'll feel like my gritty vision, the world just wasn't ready for it at the time, and it's ready for it now. But I'm like, gritty, that's, people just want good. The rating doesn't matter if the movie's good or, you know, because like Venom 2, they talked about being rated R. And it's like the first one should have been. Like, you know, just because you didn't see blood, like people getting, cops getting a head bit off.
Yes.
How's that not a rated R movie? Like people getting eaten. And you see them getting eaten, like don't, because you don't see blood, it's fine.
That's
like,
literally
so,
it nowadays, which is just
no blood, no nipples.
But even PG-13 movies used to be, you could say fuck twice, or you could show titties. You couldn't do both. Mm-hmm. So that changed somewhere, and now you can't do either. Damn it!
Or you can still curse. Because X-Men always does it.
I'm not at all interested in the cursing, so it's like, whatever.
Yeah, but the whole, you know, it's like, oh, titties will ruin the world. Like, you could machine gun up a plane, but titty will ruin your world. That's...
Well...
Hollywood's a weird place. So.
It's ruined many of people's lives.
And so has a damn machine gun. But,
yes. So...
Yeah, but no, this whole Snyder Cut thing is like, I thought we were done talking about this.
So did I.
Because I've been hearing stories that like this for like, to the point where it was a joke. We've been hearing about this since last year. It's almost 2020. They're still talking about it.
Yeah.
For what? Like, you got stuff coming out. You got movies coming out. You announced movies. You got a Harley Quinn movie coming out. You got a Wonder Woman movie coming out. You got a Suicide Squad movie coming out. You announced you're going to have Aquaman 2 and Shazam 2. You got Black Adam. And you got Batman. Keep it moving.
Oh, I missed Shazam 2. They actually announced it finally? Oh, good. I was wondering about that because I actually watched it the other day. Still a fun movie. It's not the greatest movie, but it sure was fun. It was
fun.
Different. So
it's like Ant-Man for DC.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like those movies... Every movie doesn't have to be Infinity War. And it shouldn't be. Like, let movies be the best version of themselves and be fine. And I was talking with my friends, and I was thinking about that, watching Crisis and seeing the movie stuff now. And we've talked about this. DC should have had Greg Berlanti do the movies.
Yeah. Yes, he should have. Now, he's got a spotty track record so far, though, because he's the executive producer on all of the app stuff. So it's,
but it's like he does, you've seen what he's done with the TV stuff on the TV budget. He obviously loves doing what he does.
Yeah.
And
that was the other cameo, Ray from Earth X.
Oh, I said that.
Oh, okay. I missed that. Sorry.
Yeah. It's like, you know, so imagine him with like, you know, and like he already, they threw him all that money to do TV shows. So I would think it probably been better business to throw him more money to do movies.
Yeah, he'd probably make a lot more. I mean, give him the money for that and then go back and make a lot more out of it. But yeah, it's the Hollywood thing's weird, man. Like, I was watching like that Movies That Made Us, which I highly recommend. They were talking about Die Hard and how Bruce Willis was seen as a TV guy only. And I know this is a long time ago. To the point that they had to take his photo off of the poster, or take his picture off of the poster, because people didn't like it was him.
That's still a thing.
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing.
It's still a stigma that you have to get over, where you can get past it if you were on TV on cable, but if you want TV, like Bryan Cranston is a perfect example.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, you know, oh, that's the guy from Malcolm in the Middle. Why go believe him be a drug dealer? I'm like, if you're an actor, you're an actor. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, I remember it being a thing with Bruce Willis, because I remember it being a thing because it's like George Clooney was the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, people knew he was going to be a movie star, but they weren't sure. It's like, you know, it's the TV guy. And like, a lot of TV people don't make it. You know, it's like they still have this thing, like, you know, it doesn't always translate. Will Smith had to go through it, and he's Will Smith. So think about that for a second. Like, yes, he's Will Smith. So it's sometimes better to like just be brand new, like The Rock.
Yeah.
Than do like TV, which is hilarious to think about. Then deal with like the drama, like, oh, he's just a soap opera act, like Denzel. Oh, he did a nice little, you know, hospital soap thing.
Yes. Again. I don't know. Ages ago now. This over almost, it'll be, what, that's 30 years ago at least?
Almost 40.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it's always been a thing. Like, I think it's more, it's just kind of like, it's before it used to be a different audience. Like, one is like, it's just, it just has to, you have to be larger than life when you do movies. It's always been a thing. And like, TV's, like, I'm like, it's been a, if you're good, you're good. I've always said.
But it's such a weird, and this is the kind of like old man talk, but it's such a weird thing to say, like, you gotta be larger than life, you gotta be bigger. Some of the most like iconic people are from TV, but never went to movies. Like Larry Hagman. I know he used to do movies back when they were black and white, but Larry Hagman from Dallas, he was J.R. Ewing. Was there a bigger fictional character in the world?
Hell no.
Than him? But yet never went to the movies.
He need to.
You know, it's just, yeah, it's just strange.
Like, Al Bundy is probably more popular than half the people running around in Hollywood, and he barely did movies because he ain't need to.
Well, like, he was originally the lawyer in A Few Good Men. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Okay. A Few Good Men?
Yeah, he was supposed to be Kevin Bacon. They actually filmed him as the Kevin Bacon role, but people kept laughing because he was unmarried with children. People thought it was funny, so they recast it as Kevin Bacon.
Oh, Tyler Perry syndrome.
Yeah, I mean, that's
when Tyler Perry showed up in Star Trek, an exact same thing happened.
Yeah, that was a little weird. It was like, what's Madea doing here? That's kind of strange.
It's just funny. Yeah, I remember watching a movie theater, and he pops up, and people started laughing, just out of like, what is Madea doing in space?
Yeah.
And why is he running Starfleet? Because it was like, it wasn't in the previews, so you wouldn't know unless you read up about it. Even reading it, I didn't remember. And then he said, oh, I did it as a favor.
How funny is that?
They asked me to do it as a favor. Like, the same thing. Because it's like, he don't need to work. Like, whenever he does acting stuff that's not his, it's like, oh, they asked. I was bored. Like, when he showed up in Gone Girl. And the funny one is Quentin. That's an excellent movie. And that will have you looking at your wife a lot differently. And not in necessarily a good way. And when same thing when he showed up in, what was the last? Oh, the Dick Cheney movie. It's Colin Powell.
Oh, the one with was it called Vice?
No. Vice with Christian Bale. So, but yeah, like a lot of times when you're so big on TV, it kind of like messes up when you're in movies because like you're that role and they can't look at you something different. So now, like everyone does both, so it doesn't matter anymore. 90% of the time, it only matters when they say, "Oh, the last time it came up a lot was when they were talking about." When they were doing the flag, like, why don't they just have Brent Gustin be flag? Oh, he does TV and he don't stand. I'm like, and the guy you got stands out? Like, what are we talking about? Yeah. Like, like I could like you don't. It's not like you had this big famous dude as the Flash. You had a no name indie actor. I bet more people knew who Grant Gustin was based off Glee even before he did the Flash than the guy you had to do the Flash.
And it's funny. I tried watching one episode of Glee. It was the one after the Super Bowl all those years ago, and I shut it off. I'm like, I don't get this at all. And I was told that was a bad episode of Glee, and I'm like, that's fine. I don't care. So I've actually got the Wonder Woman trailer on again. I'm just trying to see if I can see the jet. But yeah, so weird. What is the guy that plays Maxwell Lord? What's his name?
Oh, Pedro Pascal.
Thank you. I actually had it correct, but I was not going to say another wrong name.
A.K.A. the Mandalorian, A.K.A. the man that shows up in everything.
That's why I brought it up, because, yeah. He's, like, I don't even know if that's him in the armor or not, but that show, I just keep enjoying it more and more. And this week's was pretty fun. I got a little Amy Sedaris in there. The go to Mos Eisley again. The Agent May from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is in there. And then somebody shows up at the end, and I was like...
Yeah, I'm glad, because I'm like, I know they didn't bring her in there just to die.
Yeah.
But you never know. You never know with that show, because it's like, that's... It must be nice to have money you can cast whoever you want.
Yes, it is.
Because it's like...
Go ahead.
No, because it's kind of like... IMDb, Werner Herzog, Nick Nolte, Carl Weathers, Gina Carano. Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah. And it never seemed like it's out of place. It's just kind of like, oh, no, they just got somebody because like they felt like it was the best, you know, the best part for the role. And shit, streaming has basically changed the game because you can do stuff like this. And do it on your own time and take your time when you know it's going to be around and yeah. You know that money's not an issue.
Well, especially with this one, that they're taking their time with it, not releasing them all at the same time. So it's going to have more staying power. Because, I mean, I did it too, but like The Boys, I finished in a day and a half, and now we have to wait until, what, September still? For the new season, even though they put a new trailer out or whatever. But this one, like, I think they may be onto something by doing the old traditional way of...
Hulu does that.
Oh, really? Oh, she's been... Yeah. She's finally almost done with The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it's something to be said about doing it that way, because it's kind of like, on one hand, binging helps when you're trying to catch up. Mm-hmm. But once you're done, you're done.
Yes.
It's kind of like, they talk about it for like maybe they talk about it maybe a week or 2 weeks.
Yes.
Or they'll talk about it like, you know, like when it's real big. But after that, they stop talking about it. Yeah. This one is like, you know, this comes out week after week. You're talking about it. You get excited. You get to catch up on other things. And it's advantages to binging. But it's also advantages like the old way of like being out on people like, I got to wait a week. I thought that was the point of cable. I'm like, it's a zillion things that's out. So there's nothing wrong waiting. And speaking of people that's in everything. So... It's funny, I was watching the movie Knock Knock with Keanu Reeves and the two girls. Yep. And you know one of those women, because it's funny, like, one of them used to be married to Eli Roth. And the other one's name is Ana de Armas. And I say her name because she's in Knives Out and she's in the new James Bond movie.
Okay.
But I didn't recognize her. Like, I'm like, that name seems familiar. Where did I hear her name from? And then Knock Knock came on last night. I'm like, wait a second. That's her? Like, it did not look... I did not recognize... I think her hair was blonde. Like, it was like... She didn't look the same. She wasn't acting the same. And I'm like, wow, when you're a talented actor, you can really hide behind a role.
Yeah, I'm pulling her up now.
And I've seen, like, her IMDb. She's going to be a lot... Like, you know, it's that thing. When you get... You hit off... Because she was in Blade Runner. The newest one, apparently.
I started that, and then just shut it off. I was like, I don't care.
I watched, like, I may watch it when I have time, but it's kind of like when you get hot, you start getting all the roles until you mess up twice. Like everyone, like you just, it's always that thing. Like, you know, you have your run, like you're in everything till people get sick of you and you got to fade back and then go back into it.
There's definitely that. Like, think, well, that Robert Pattinson guy's about to find that out.
I mean, it's funny when you talk about, I hope I don't have this, you know, the same type of fan stuff I did with Twilight Bloody. You have no idea.
Did his dumb ass actually say that?
I mean, I will say this. He's honest. He don't show tact, but that's one thing. He's honest and up front. Like, he said that, like, yeah, you know, like, he's interested in seeing Batman. But he say stuff like, you know, Batman's not really a superhero. Superhero had powers. Like Batman is like a torture. But, like, yeah, you're right, Batman. But you don't, boy, that piss off Batman fans like no other. When you tell them, like, yeah, man, he ain't Superman because he can't fly. He can't run fast. It's like, but he got his brain. Yeah. Being smart don't make you a superhero. Being smart just make you smart. But, no, he said stuff like that. He was saying he was hoping. Because you keep in mind, that Twilight fan base at his peak was just, I can understand why he would say that through that stuff. But I'm like, you have no idea what you get into. You about to be Batman. The only thing worse is, the worst fan base as far as that goes is Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. I thought we were going to say Spider-Man.
No,
I don't think that's, but
no, Star Wars is the worst, but being Batman is definitely like top five. Cause it's like a no, cause even it's, they're gonna say it was miscast, and then they're gonna say it was underrated, and then they're gonna say it was overrated, and then they're gonna say they miss you. Mm-hmm. Basically.
Yeah, well that's the Heath Ledger one as well. Because it was, oh my god, why are you casting him? Oh my god, this is great. He wins an award. He was, you know, anyone could have done that. So, okay, cool.
And now it's like no one else should do it beside him.
Yeah. Yes. Which is what people were also saying about Cesar Romero back when he did the TV show. So when it was Nicholson's turn, it was like, no, he's not the same. It's like, yeah, well, at least Nicholson shaved his face.
I think more people were more surprised. It was kind of like, Nicholson did it. It's like, yeah, they paid him a boatload of money, yes, like they did Marlon Brando. That's why he did it. And he didn't get that much slander because Michael Keaton got all the slander.
Yes. Oh, yes, he did. Mm-hmm. Well, so that's the great part about how Warner's, I guess, but DC started their movie universes by having the sub-characters, their names are the biggest on the posters. Because it was a huge deal Marlon Brando did that movie. And his name was above the credits for a while. Which is hilarious, because he's in that movie, what, 5 minutes?
Yeah, 5 or 10. Like, it's, I mean, it's Don Corleone. But it's funny, Iron Man, you could say, was the same thing. Because it's like, when that movie came out, Jeff Bridges and especially Terrence Howard were both bigger than Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Robert Downey, if you look at like star power, he's fourth. Because Gwyneth Paltrow was a bigger deal than he was either. Like, it's funny to say that now, but I remember back then, he was like, you mean the guy from Ally McBeal that kept using drugs? Him?
Yeah. And then every time it gets brought up, I always remember it. Oh, that's right. It's quite the turnaround. So, because he was the one that broke in Robert Downey Jr., which, you know, it's always fun recounting someone's past. He was the one that woke up in somebody else's house, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
God, what a horrible feeling.
Yeah, he was on, like,
I woke up in my own bed thinking I was at somebody else's house. Oof, that's a rough go, my friend. So,
if he did that, if he lived in a certain area and did that, he'd be dead. Because somebody would have came home and shot him. So the fact that he survived is amazing. The fact that he got through all that and did what he did since then is like, yeah. Oh, I didn't even talk to you about trailers. We didn't talk about Black Widow, did we?
No, that came out last week. That's where I was going to bring up. Yeah, what I was going to bring up next. I liked it. I thought some of it looked a little generic, though. But I'm past that point of going, nope, it's not going to work. I mean, it looked fun. It's in a very curious position of. Yeah. We supposedly know what happened. So
she can't stay dead.
I can't. I just thought that was such a weird way for that character to go out anyways.
Yeah.
That it didn't seem real. It didn't seem final, I should say. But.
And it's funny. I used to hear the argument all the time. like, why didn't they have a Black Widow movie? And you know what I used to hear? Well, they didn't have a Hawkeye movie. You're like, one, Black Widow's more interesting than Hawkeye. Two, Hawkeye was Jeremy Renner, and Black Widow was Scarlett freaking Johansson. Like, what are we talking about? Like, they are two completely different level of, like, Jeremy Renner would be the star of a movie if it's a big franchise or you're trying to win an award. Scarlett Johansson star of a movie if you want to make money, which not a lot of women can say, I can open up my own movie and make money, and she's one of them. And you had all that time, it's like, oh, yeah, sure. And we realized, because the person that used to run Marvel was an asshole that hated everybody that wasn't a white man. But it's just funny this come out, like, it took for Captain Marvel to be successful before we, oh, yeah, well, I guess we'll get around to that Black Widow movie we could have did 7 years ago.
But even then, that's still a weird choice to do Captain Marvel first over Black Widow. But Marvel, I guess Marvel didn't fall in line with expectations. I think that's a good way of putting it. Like, you had you had the Winter Soldier. So what? And then they started the romance between him and Sharon. And then the next one was Civil War, where the romance kept going. You're like, oh, okay. So Cap's going to be on his own running around. That's the last Captain America movie. All those plot threads just kind of got dropped. And I mean, Thor was in space. It was some, like, 80s homage. And then everywhere you thought they were going to go with something, they went somewhere else. So maybe that fit the bill.
But there's a reason for that. It's because one person used to run Marvel when they started it. And then another person became, ran Marvel. And they fixed a lot of stuff. Because they was like, I don't want to do Black Panther. Nobody wants to see black movies. I don't want to do Captain Marvel. Nobody wants to see women. Like, you basically had somebody running the movies that didn't like black people or women. So that's a problem. It's like, think about the people that wanted to quit or wanted to leave. Think about the people like, Natalie Portman's like, fuck this, I'm out.
Yeah,
I don't need Idris Elba's like, you got me out here with these funny contacts, I can't see shit, I look stupid, I'm not having any fun, why am I wasting my time with this? And then they have Taika Waititi come in, oh, you actually get to do stuff. Natalie Portman, the same thing. Like, I'm still amazed. I know money talk, I'm still amazed she came back.
I was trying to figure out what else she's been doing. Like, what working. Other movies has she done? And I'm not making this as a criticism. I'm just
Annihilation was the last big one she did.
Okay, I've got that recorded. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. All right. But she's got a funny career. Where it's like, she just does things she likes. She never like really been like the big blockbuster type thing. And it was like that. You remember the story? Like, Patty Jenkins was supposed to direct it, then she dropped out, and it's like, I don't even think she wanted to stay for the second one, but the only reason she stayed was because Patty Jenkins was going to do it. And then when that happened, she's like, I'm cool. So with her coming back, it's like, oh, she's going to be Thor. Not just coming back, but coming back to play the comic character, how Jane Foster turns out. It's like, that wouldn't have happened like Perlmutter's still running the show.
No, what does he do exactly? He's still part of it, isn't he? In some respect?
Yeah, they've shifted all the entertainment away from him because he used to be in control of Marvel Entertainment. And then it was like, he used to be in control of both movies and TV. And then they had it where Feige got under his thumb and like reported directly like Disney brass. So he basically, like, Perlmutter still did his TV things, but Feige was like, nah, I don't talk to entertainment, I'll talk to management. Basically get around him doing, like, the movies. And now he does everything, so yeah. Perlmutter's just getting a check. I don't know what he can get. I guess toys? Because that was also a big thing, too. We can't have the villain be a woman in Iron Man 3 because you can't sell girl dolls.
Man, okay. And I don't know if we've ever talked about this before. I've heard that argument since we were kids. Whenever they would make an assortment, a long time ago, you get Wonder Woman, and that was it. But then I remember, like, the Migos, specifically, they had female characters. I was like, cool, because I had Supergirl, Wonder Woman, like, all of those. I mean, I to this day don't know what happened to all those. I used to love those Mego dolls. Anyways, sorry. So, fast forward, you got Star Wars, you have Princess Leia, and Mon Mothma came later, the blank slate, no one knows what she did, or like what to do with her when you're a kid, so why would you buy her? I did, but I'm trying to think of like the other women in Star Wars. Nothing. Okay, alright. Transformers? Nope. They came up with a girl robot later. But then G.I. Joe came along, and in the first batch, they had Scarlet. Like, okay. But then Scarlet...
Lady J.
Yeah, but Scarlet, they didn't put a whole lot in there. No, CoverGirl was first. Then Lady J. I think. Uh-oh. I can't do this. Anyways, you're right. They both came out. I can't start breaking down in my G.I. Joe stuff. But G.I. Joe was the first line I remember slowly making the women figures, and they sold way better than they expected. Go figure. A bunch of like teen kids buying army men where they're going through like hormones, puberty, and all of a sudden you want to get the women down. Yeah, of course you do. But then after that, nothing. And that was the weirdest thing. And then slowly but surely they started making them again. Like, imagine wrestling figures. I never saw a Fabulous Moolah figure.
I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, that wouldn't have been a thing to like the 90s. But the problem is the people who are making those decisions have a thought process that does not match the people who are actually buying that stuff. Because you got a bunch of old ass racist men. It's like, oh, men, boys can't play with stuff like that. That'll make them gay. So I'm not going to do that. It's like, that's what happens. You don't raise your children because you got housekeepers raising your kids, and you haven't been around kids, in 45 years, but you're making decisions on that. Like it's, and that happens in almost every. It's too much disconnect in entertainment because you got a bunch of old people running it that remember stuff back when they were kids, 60 something years ago, however long it was, making decisions for like young people. Like, get out the house, grandpa. Like, things have changed. Yes. Women want to see themselves in movies. Yes, black people want to see themselves in movies. And guess what? People will follow them. And it's funny where Marvel would look a lot different if Kevin Feige... Because Kevin Feige was going to leave. He was like, screw this, I'm out. And they basically had to make that compromise to keep him. And you see how important it is to have somebody that know what they're doing in charge. Because all you got to do is look at Warner Brothers and look at DC.
Look at Fox, for that matter.
A look at Fox.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if Fox, the X-Men universe would probably look a lot better if Mark Millar was run. Who's the guy that does Kingsman?
Yeah, that's him.
Matthew
Vaughn. He was a director on First Class.
Yeah, director. Yeah, if Matthew Vaughn just ran X-Men, it'd look a lot. Or James Mangold ran X-Men, it'd look a lot different. Instead, it's like, you know, you had, you know, Silver, who like, I really hate comics, and I don't really like, I pick my people based on how cool the powers look, but I don't like this comic stuff. It's like, those movies work, but they could have been, they worked in spite of him, not because of him. Mm-hmm. And it's a funny thing, like, yeah, it's like, you could tell the difference between people, I guess we can wrap up with it, you could tell the difference between people who like what they're doing and people that's doing it for a check.
Getting
the wrong thing from, because like, Jon Favreau, you can tell he loves Star Wars. And he got people around him who like Star Wars. Kevin Feige loves what he does. And you can tell Greg Berlanti loves doing comic stuff. He enjoys doing that. Because if you're doing something like this, you can't half-ass it. Mm-hmm. You got to go. And that's why Superman hasn't worked as well. Because it's like, they're afraid of having Superman just be earnest and corny.
Yeah.
If you're going to do Superman, do Superman. Don't try to have him be pseudo Batman. Don't have him try to be, well, you know, realistically, if Superman landed in the Midwest, he'd probably be, you know, racist. Nobody want to see that. Yeah, no. That's the truth. But Man of Steel didn't work because that's how Superman would probably be in real life. And nobody wants to see that shit.
Yeah, I mean, Superman started off as just the guy that could, you know, leap tall buildings, blah, 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 blah. And then he became the ideal. Like, regardless of what he looked like, it was always his actions. It was like, you know, just did this, acted this way, and that was all. It was supposed to be something to look up to without, like, the angst. Like, Captain America was the same way, that he was there for everybody. And he's like the American way, and then he'd be like, no, the hell with you guys. Here's your stupid costume and take off. Well, Superman would never did that. And that's why even in Crisis, when he said, I thought he got a little too sour, but he said, it's like, all this happened because I gave up the cape, which is like, well, all right. And then Kara has to give him the pep talk and all this. I'm going, all right, maybe that's a misstep, because it would have been, yeah, we got to take off, we're going to come back, because he's done that in the comics too. But he's always been the ideal. You know, like, even in the movies, they came up with the whole thing where he can't lie. Like, that's how bad it got. And then they came up with the super kiss, which is, okay. Oh, boy. Even as a kid, I thought it was stupid. But he was the ideal. And then that's what Snyder and them, they didn't treat it like that. And I think that's why it lost people. So,
yeah, it's like, but even, yeah, it's like, well, you know, we got to break down that. Because Jack Snyder had this weird thing. It's like, you know, you know how I said how how old people look at kids their way? He looks at everybody as like horny Call of Duty teenagers. Like, everything I'll be gritty and, like, you know, Wonder Woman's sword is that color because it's bathed in the blood of her enemies. Why would you, huh?
Well, one, that's like, how it works, but
say that out loud and think how that says and think how that sounds. I'm like, if it sounds stupid out loud, then maybe you shouldn't say it. And it's like, you know, well, and it's kind of like,
the problem is, it doesn't sound stupid to them.
That's exactly. Yeah. And it's a fan base that, I'll say this, I liked 300 a lot more when I was younger. When I watched 300 when it came out, it was fun. I ain't thinking too much about the story behind it, but it just looked cool. Yeah. Everybody in shape is a man being a man, and Jared Butler screaming and shouting, eating up scenery. That's cool. And same thing, you know, but watching 300 now is like, yeah, it's not the same. Like, I accept it for what it is. There's a lot of trash in that movie. And the problem is, Zack Snyder still had that same mindset. And he's still making movies for, like, fans with that same mindset. And I'm like, nah, that shit don't work. You can't do that with Superman.
No.
And you shouldn't do that with Batman. It's like, even when Batman gritty, like, it's still a guy dressed up in a damn bat suit. So let's, like, at the end of the day, that's, you know, all the psychosis, all the story, all what he represents, it's still a dude dressed up in a bat suit punching crime into submission.
Yeah.
You can only get so serious doing that, no matter how. And Christopher Nolan set an example, and people followed the wrong lessons from that example.
Yes. To this day. Yes. And I think it's also funny, I just remember this to bring up this old gag where, you know, Batman doesn't kill people, which, okay, they really tried to get that across. It still cracks me up because we started this show talking about how the Joker's still alive after Batman killed him at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone ignores that now.
I mean, after Batman killed two of his henchmen, too.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, like, people thought, oh, well, besides the person he blew up in Batman Returns, Batman never killed anybody. I'm like, no. Batman killed, like, three or four people in the first Batman. And I'm sorry, did the Penguin kill himself? Or did Batman cause him to fall through that damn window?
I'm sure. I was trying to remember. Oh, yeah, didn't, like, the rockets come back at the zoo? Is that what happened?
No. The Penguin grabbed the whole remote thinking it was, like, a weapon. He pointed at Batman, and it was the bird, and it was the bats coming, and the bats were messing with him, and he fell through the window.
Oh, that's right.
Into the water, and then he tried to kill him. He grabbed the wrong umbrella, and then he died.
Yes.
But, like, oh, Batman been killing people. And, like, even if he not, I'm just thinking, you walking through Gotham City, and you sell, like, a dime bag of weed just trying to take care of your family, then Batman will show up and break your wrist.
Put it that way is pretty funny, though.
Like, I'm just trying to rob this liquor store. Like, I should rob a liquor store, but the rent due. And Batman, like, we know CTE is a thing. Batman just bash your brain into a wall.
Yeah.
At least you ain't dead. Yeah, but you're going to have concussion syndrome for the next 40 years of your life. You know, you imagine walking around a room with, like, yeah. And to really wrap it up, because I brought up Batman, because I've been watching Batwoman, and one of the things that I love about it is how they said that Gotham City is racist and homophobic. And it makes me wonder, like, what was Batman doing? Because it's come up multiple times. They're like, oh, well, you know, Gotham has an issue with racial profiling the police. No, I did not know that. Luke Fox? What's Commissioner Gordon doing? What was Batman doing? And then one episode, she's in, like, a Italian restaurant.
Yeah.
And the dude's like, you got to leave. And she's like, why? Like, to your dress code. I look fine. I just got shoes. Oh, you don't like me eating your spaghetti because I'm gay? And I'm like, this shit is so, I didn't know if I wanted to be offended or just hilarious. I'm like, you try to tell me somebody Ruby Rose in your restaurant, you like, nah, you can't eat because you,
yes,
you like girls.
Yeah, it was very, very heavy handed. And then the other thing that cracked me up was later in that episode, she's a realty company now? Is that what she's in? And she just buys stuff, and then she's going to make a gay club straight across the street from him. And I'm like, is that really the best use of your resources? Which, wait a minute, where the hell are you getting these resources from? Because last I knew, you were on some sabbatical doing nothing with no job and no inheritance, so...
Yeah, I'm like, she... Because the whole thing is, like, they said, like, she's rich, but they don't say how.
Yeah. Because Bruce didn't leave her anything, obviously.
Bruce must have left us. Bruce must have left for the Platinum American Express.
Okay, but that's one thing on that show. They either need to stop mentioning him, or they need to promise he shows up eventually.
He got to show up.
I mean, he has to. So, oh, you know what? I never thought of this. Maybe that's what Kevin Conroy is. And maybe they can get through this, because she's writing a journal to him and all this crap. I'm like, oh my god.
And she does mention, like, we need to go see Batman. I don't know if it's their universe's Batman. Well, no.
Yeah, I mean,
their universe, isn't her planet gone?
Well, the Supergirl one is, yes.
But they, okay.
See, they've kind of messed the rules around, because when the red shows up is when your planet's dead. Well, it's shown up on everyone's, and everyone's is still alive except for Kara's right now.
But
so
it's funny because they talked about, like, you know, this planet, because they show the other ones is like, I'm under assumption that I know the Titan one's coming back, but I'm like, I'm assumption they gone for right now.
That's what I thought too.
And they, the way they talk is like, when it happens. I'm like, because she was busy fighting some about why you pulled me out. I was trying to get clues. Hey, like, bitch, the universe about to end.
Yeah.
So, but. No, I just thought about that because they basically established, like, Gotham as a trash-ass scene. I'm like, what was Batman doing all that time?
Maybe that's why he left. He's like, you guys help yourself.
But no, they were very heavy-handed. And I would say it just stood out because how heavy-handed it is. But that stuff still happens now. So yes, that's why I don't look at it like too bad. I'm like, you need to be heavy-handed because sometimes these people need heavy hands. I just laugh at the irony of that happening. She just like, I just want some spaghetti and meatballs. Oh, you can't eat. You got those Converses on.
Yeah, that happened. I just went, okay. Because it's also a CW show where they've always got to work something in.
But so, I mean, you can't, here's the thing. It's part of her character, and it's part of storyline. So you can't not talk about, like, the whole, you know, her girlfriend broke up because, like, I'm open about who I am, and she's like, I'm trying to get my career.
Yeah, see, I think that's a way more important story than this little side adventure one. Maybe that's just personal preference, but I think that story of, you know, the ex-girlfriend, her, the husband, and how, like, you always hear these stories about that happening. I've never personally been around anything that's happened like that. So it's something, to me at least, that's never been explored.
I mean, it's been exploring, like, movies and certain shows, but not, like, comic shows. Because people were afraid of talking. Like, you couldn't. The CW, the only network that even would touch stuff like that up until this point, because it's like, they they just do. Nobody else, everybody else is like, eh, I don't want to piss off Chinese people. I don't want to piss off the corporate execs, so I'm not going to go there. So it's, I mean, it's part of her character. And Davis, and it's a big, I think it's kind of like that whole restaurant scene is kind of like, it enforces why Kate made her choice. She's like, I'm proud and I can deal with stuff like this or whatever. And the other girl's like, I don't want to deal with stuff like this. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I love you and anything like that, but it's like, yeah, maybe I want to go to, you know, I want to rent an apartment. They don't give it to me because I'm gay. Like, I don't want to go through all that. And it's not a right or wrong thing, because you can't tell somebody how to, like, deal with that, because mm-hmm. it's a pain in the ass. Like, being black, I can't not be black. So I'm always going to have to deal with it, because it's not like it's an on-off switch. But trust me, if I could, it's been some times where, like, you know what? If I have to deal with it, I would not deal with it. And stuff would be a lot easier. So I can definitely relate to the other girl, like, why she want to deal with that, because that's just tiring. And if you don't have to go through that, I don't understand why you necessarily should. But that's not to say she's wrong, but that's not to necessarily say Kate's wrong. And I guess that's the point of it.
Yeah. No, sorry. Hit me. That just hit me weird when you said that. I've never heard you say that before. So
I mean, it's a thing where it's that like,
sucks.
It's no, that fucking sucks. Like, yeah, it's no on-off switch. Like, you come out, and
yeah.
No matter how much people, like, we don't talk about a lot, I know when, like, it's always in the back of their mind, and they just, and a lot of times they tell them so they don't realize when they say certain things, like, you know, how'd you get here? Is this you get here because you earned affirmative action, or if you grab your purse a little tight, like, you know, stuff they do in the movies in the 80s, they still do that shit now. Like, it's some stuff has never gone out of style, because people do the same, like hockey games, they throw, like hockey and soccer games, they throw bananas. We've been doing bananas for, what, 100 years? You can't come up with something, like, you can't come up with something new. It's like, so that's why it's a thing, like, it's not that it just always happens. It's the same old jokes, and it's the same old insults, and it's the same old thing, like, over and, you know, like, change your tune. Like, update it for the, it's 2020. Find, you know, at least, we can wrap up this. Harold Kumar made a joke with grape soda in the second one. And I laugh because it's like, it's a racist joke, but at least it's a modern one.
Yeah.
Like the grape soda. Yes. Like if you go on a joke and do that way, at least modernize it and make it seem like topical. Don't do the same old watermelon stuff. Like, come on now. Are we still driving Model Ts with Tommy guns?
No, I'm with, as much as I shouldn't be, I'm with you on that one. I don't like any joke that's outdated, let alone... Well, no, I just don't like any joke that's outdated. So, yeah, especially when he gets, like, if you're going to say a racial joke, yeah, it better be fucking new. And that to me is a lot better. Now, I understand how that sounds, and I don't care, but those are, one, they're the easiest jokes on the planet to do. So, all right, maybe it's a little weak, but if you update them, you get a pass for a while. That's how it works in my world. But, yeah, I've never heard, but then I've also never thought of asking someone how they got here. Like, what you were just saying, like, was it affirmative action? I'm like, who the fuck has time for this stuff? Like, I'm not naive. this is going to sound arrogant, whatever. I'm way too logical to sit there and go, I'm going to ask this guy how he got here. No, he got here. Who cares?
Because they assume, you get, especially for me and my job, they assume it's like, it had to be help. He couldn't have just earned. Like, this whole pull your bootstrap stuff up is just nonsense. Like, he had to get a thing. Like, no. Batman, Bruce Wayne did not give me a scholarship for me to get here. I got here because a whole lot of work, a whole lot of luck, and a shitload amount of money. I don't know if you, like, I tweeted about it over the weekend.
No, I didn't then.
Yeah, like, but the whole thing is like, you know, how'd you get where I get there? I'm like, I had to move twice to go to school, to find a good school. So there's this whole thing, like, you know, if you look to your left, you look to your right, 95% of y'all ain't gonna graduate, so I hope you're ready to deal with that. Yeah, I told my mom that story. We moved a month later.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then I moved from Jerry, North Carolina, because people say, oh, America, you don't have to go to expensive school. Why don't you just go to a cheap school? I'm like, there ain't no cheap schools if you live in certain states. You live in New Jersey, there ain't no cheap schools. Even the public schools are quote-unquote are expensive. So it's like you live in a certain state, you screwed. So it's like, got to move to North Carolina where cheap school. And they're like, yeah, we had to move away from our whole family so me and my stepbrothers could like find a way to go to school. And I still end up spending over $250,000 on my education.
I don't know how you haven't killed yourself. If I had that much debt, that's not a house. Like, and don't take this the wrong way. You've got nothing to show for that except for a piece of paper. And I know you have your job, so like that's the accomplishment of spending that much. But anything tangible you don't have. You know? That's like that with a lot of things, but
I will say with mine is slightly different for two reasons. I actually learned the skills I needed. Like I'm fortunate where the things I learned in school actually are related to my job because I had to, you know, I had to learn. And two, most importantly, my job pays me enough so I don't think about running to Mexico or becoming a ninja or like, you know, like robbing banks. Because it's like, yeah, my student loans went up again like this month, paying $1,725 every month. Yeah, I did the math one day. Like last year, and I realized like in like 5 years, I paid like $60,000 or $70,000, and my loan dropped $5,000 because of interest. Yeah, that's how you become super. That's the origin story for supervillains. Like if I didn't have a job paying what I'd be paying, you and Kevin would be doing the show because I'd be trying to rob back.
Man, I don't know. I went to a state school in state, and there was unless I went for 30 years, there's no chance I could rack up that bill. I keep forgetting to ask Kevin how much he paid to go there because he came from out of state. But it's, wow.
And yeah. The worst thing is it's gotten worse. Like pharmacy school costs double what it cost when I graduated. The tuition in like 9 years, the cost is double.
And
trust me, you ain't making twice the amount of money you making. Nope. And more than likely, people that's going to come out, it's a good chance people come out now will never come close to making what I make.
Yeah.
Because they pay people less now.
Yep. That's why I've, Elisa's son, when he graduated high school, I was like, you don't have to go to school. I'm not supposed to say this, but you don't have to go to school. I was like, you got to find something, though, that's going to be, you know, essential. A trade, a service, something like that. And he got a job in a machine shop. I mean, he's making almost $20 an hour. He's only 24 years old. It's pretty damn good. No advanced education. And I was getting in welding, which I guess apparently there's a shortage of welders in this country. So yeah. I was like, okay, but he's doing all that without the college thing, and that's why I said, as long as you got some other plan, that's fine, because you don't want it. I mean, especially for me, I never wanted to be in school anyways. My grades absolutely reflected that too, and it's not for everyone. And now with the cost of it, it's definitely not. I think back to those school days where I'm taking English and a history minor, and I'm taking anthropology. And I go, why am I having to take all of these classes? Why am I taking math classes? This isn't high school. It has nothing to do with what I'm doing.
I will say,
force this shit on you.
And I used to, you know what? Perfect time to wrap up.
Yeah.
I used to feel that way. And then I'm around certain people who didn't. They just focus on their major. And it's like the reason, and I now understand why they were saying it, although some of the classes still a waste of time. They always said you wanted to have a balanced education, but they didn't explain why. And this is the theory why. And being in the medical field and me being around certain people is apt. The reason why they say that is kind of like you're exposed to different things, so you have more empathy and know how to interact as a human being in the world. You see how many assholes and these narrow-minded jackasses around? It's a re like this whole. I work with like people like I just focus on science, and that's all I focus on. And they look at people as like a spreadsheet, and they do not know how to function outside the job, and they're dickheads. and I'm like, yeah, that's where it come from. Like, I make the joke all the time, healthcare is just full of weirdos, because they are like, they are not well-rounded individuals. And that was the whole point of like taking French and Spanish history, to try to find a way of being well-rounded. Still pissed because you got to pay for it, and it doesn't always work, but that's the reason behind it. And I will say there is some rationale behind it, because it's like, it's a lot of narrow people's light, especially now where you see like, I don't know how humans work, do y'all? It's like, oh, we're going to streamline this thing and make the world better by eliminating all your jobs. Okay, so what are the people going to do? Oh, I don't know. What you mean you don't know? Like, that's a thing. We got a lot of people running stuff who was like, all they took was like computer classes. Yeah, I learned how to code, but I don't know how to shake somebody's hand. But I run your internet. That's a goddamn problem then.
It's, we really need to wrap up, but they're trying to do automation where I'm at. One, it never works, so I don't care. But my thing is, if places go to automation, and I understand the reasoning, I mean, you take the human error out, there's no sick days, it's more efficient, blah, 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 this and this. But if you repeatedly get rid of work for people to do, they're not going to be able to afford any of the things that you're making. Or that you're selling. So there's that double-edged sword there, to where you have to think this out a little bit further. And I know that's not their responsibility to make sure you have a job. I mean, I understand. I work where I work. They don't give a damn about me. And I get it. That's fine. But vice versa. Well, I've just never understood that concept. I understand why, but with no thought put into it. If you have no customer base... then
exactly what's the point? That's the thing. It's like they look at short term, or like, oh, we made profits now, oh, we cut back on this. I'm like, it comes to a point where you don't have people working for you, and you don't have people buying your stuff, so how do you expect to make money? Like, you can't make money if nobody got any money to spend, because the people with a whole lot of money ain't trying to spend none of theirs. So it's, and that's a problem. Like, you know, I go to Walmart, and it's like, you got 18 lines, and two of them got cashiers. That's not any, oh, well, we got automated. That don't help when everybody in line and half of them don't work. Well, I'm not going to go to, like, I stopped going to certain places. Like, oh, you don't got a cashier? What if I need help? Oh, go to customer service. No, I'm going to go somewhere that they have people actually working there. So, and it's the same thing with, like, everything. Like, it's happened with movies, too. And it's a perfect say. Like, Disney... it's going to set a record. I think by the time they finish, like, 8 or 9, their movie's going to make $1 billion. And, like, this year, they've already made $10 billion global profits. But if you weren't like, Disney or, like, Universal, you did not make money this year in movies. It's basically either you at the top or you at the bottom. That whole middle ground. Like, they said something like Hobbs and Shaw was the only movie that made under 800 or more than 400.
Wow.
Yeah, because everybody either made a whole lot of money or made a little bit of money. And that's how this, yeah, that's weird thinking about that. Like, yeah, like, if you make $1 billion, don't bother. Come out on Netflix.
And damn it, it's been a week and a half, 2 weeks, so that's probably why, but... the Netflix thing still confused me, how they're going to make money off that, but we can't get into that. So it'll be a nice segue for something else. But yeah, we do need to go. Especially because someone's got to get to work. So,
thanks
everyone for listening. This was a special 200th episode, which was exactly like all the other 199 that came before it. So, iTunes, blah, 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 all that stuff. Stunk Granny on Twitter and all that. So there you go. So I'll let Shahid take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi. Happy 200. And... try to make money. We are out.